After 7 years on TV, The West Wing comes to an end next month. TV critic David Bianculli says he doesn't want to wait until then to discuss the show because lately it's simply been too good to ignore.
When The West Wing premiered in 1999, in the previous century just before the premiere of The Sopranos, it instantly was the best drama series on television. Creator Aaron Sorkin took a potentially dry and wonky subject, the inner workings of the most powerful inner circle in politics, and made it funny, gripping, thought-provoking, even exciting. If you want to see how easily such a topic can go south, watch ABC's Commander-in-Chief, which is about to return. But if you want to watch a perfect dramatic TV series, get the DVDs and watch the first 2 seasons of The West Wing. The fictional world of The West Wing has a political cycle 2 years ahead of or behind our own. The story began with Martin Sheen's President Bartlet having 2 years to go in his first term. He ran for re-election and won in 2002, and we got to see his devoted, passionate staffers plan and fight his campaign, weather a scandal about his hidden health problems, and deal with one global or domestic crisis after another. But in Bartlet's second term, The West Wing became a little less focused and substantially less satisfying. After Sorkin left the show, and even in the final year while he was there, The West Wing didn't crackle the way it used to. Characters began to do things that were wildly uncharacteristic and totally unbelievable. Richard Schiff's Toby got into a fistfight, for example, when his strongest weapons always have been his intellect and his mouth. But a funny thing happened as The West Wing approached the final year of the final Bartlet term. Executive producer John Wells and company had to decide what to do next, and they gave their familiar characters divided loyalties. Some stayed with the White House. Others quit to work for the campaigns of various Democratic candidates, including 2 former vice presidents established in previous seasons of the show. Josh Lyman, played by Bradley Whitford, handpicked his own candidate and persuaded him to run. Matt Santos, a Latino congressman played by Jimmy Smits. And as Santos very slowly evolved, Jimmy Carter-like, from dark horse joke to improbable Democratic frontrunner, The West Wing also introduced his formidable Republican opponent, California Senator Arnold Vinnick, played by Alan Alda. This was brilliant casting on both sides, adding to a concept that was genius in the first place. Instead of focusing on one side of the campaign, as The West Wing had done 4 years before, it now showed us both. It even brought back Ron Silver as a strategist hired by Bartlet for his campaign, now working for Vinnick and the Republicans. Shows alternated between showcasing Vinnick and Santos or offered equal time to both. There's no question that the quality of the shows improved once the writers saw what Smits and Alda were capable of doing. These were the sorts of candidates you wanted to vote for. And when the West Wing staged a live debate, Smits and Alda walked into that high-pressure arena and killed. Not each other, just as actors. The cop from NYPD Blue and the doctor from MASH have found, later in their careers, roles that good, and they've responded accordingly. These fictional campaigns have gotten the details right, from the earliest days stumping for votes door-to-door in the Iowa caucus to the current election day tension and last-minute maneuvering. As the climax to a long-running story, that would be plenty, but reality threw a tragic curve into the mix this season. John Spencer, who played Leo McGarry, former White House chief of staff and the current vice presidential running mate of Matt Santos, died suddenly. This Sunday's episode begins as last week's ended. Only a couple of hours are left until the polls close in the West on Election Day, and the race still is too close to call. Red states and blue states all over the map, all boiling down to a fight for the one still in white, undecided. That's when Santos gets the news that Leo has collapsed in his hotel room and been hospitalized. Santos reacts one way, but his entourage, including his deputy campaign manager, played by Janine Garofalo, and his wife, played by Terry Polo, have other ideas.
Where is he?
They're taking him to Methodist. The ambulance should be there by now.
Where's Josh?
He just left for the hospital.
Was Leo talking?
We don't know.
Should we be going to the hospital?
No, press doesn't have this yet.
Why not?
Polls out west are open for another 90 minutes. The longer that we...
You want to try and keep this a secret for an hour and a half?
A quarter of the country is still voting.
And I'm asking all 4 quarters to trust me to be their leader. I am not hiding the health problems of my vice president.
It may not be the best place to have this conversation.
Anything that highlights any
uncertainty. I am not having this conversation. We're issuing a statement to the press now.
Congressman, this is still a campaign, and there's only two kinds, the pitiless and the dead. Every minute we stand here, votes are being cast. Undecideds vote late in the day. If they were looking for a reason to vote Minnick, a press release from us could just punch their lottery ticket.
It's going to come out. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, the paramedic, somebody at the hotel or the hospital is going to say something.
Maybe we get lucky and it takes an hour for the press to confirm and get something on
the air. They're not going to wait to confirm it. They're going to go with the rumor.
I know he's your friend. He's my friend, too. But we can't be sentimental about this, or we will have a Republican president who will gut education, he will auction off Social Security, and cut taxes till we're bleeding red ink. And when Leo wakes up, he will kick your ass for letting that happen. You know he will.
What does Santos decide to do? That's revealed on Sunday. So is the winner of the election, but I won't spoil the suspense by saying anything here. When a show is this good, you really should see for yourself. And The West Wing, in its final year, has returned to the fabulous form of its first. It's earned a renewal, but isn't getting one. So the least we can do is support the series and applaud it as it goes out in glory.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News. The West Wing airs Sunday night on NBC.